Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, rugby.
Really concerned about where the shape was going and where the club was going. I think you'll always have concerns. This player's not going to come out of Leinster in the next few years and say it was all amazing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello, yes, you are very welcome to this week's LOI pod on Off the Ball. Stephen here, and I've got Vinny and Gareth for their expert views. The League of Ireland podcast is on Off the Ball, is brought to you by Rockshore 00, refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Before we discuss matters on the field, a couple of things I was going to mention, lads. Actually, you know, I was on my Holliers a couple of weeks ago down in the south of Spain, near not too far from Malaga. We go to the same spot every now and again, and three different trips there, Malaga, were away from home, and I never got to see them until our most recent one. And would you believe, last week I'm there looking at the League of Ireland fixtures and thinking, right, have we any Premier Division? No, can't go see any Premier Division games. Let's go through the League One or the First Division. I'm kind of thinking, grand, yeah, Bray Wanderers, my local team up the road from not too far from where I live. Bray away from home down at Cove Rambers, can't believe it. Then this week and going, right, no Prem fixtures, Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers Friday night, not going to go to that, so I'll have a look. Bray Wanderers, nice one, they're going to be at home this week. No, they're away in Treaty United, can't believe it. Dreadful luck, wouldn't you say, lads? I know Bray's no Malaga, but like, you know, decent team to watch.
A decent style of football, same style of football, Steve, surely.
Absolutely. And no, listen, it's a great club, and it's been brilliant seeing so many people going through the gates there at Carlisle Grounds. And unlucky last year in their playoff, maybe we might see Bray Wanderers in the top flight very soon once again. Also off the pitch, lads, big news announced in Budget 2026 this week. The €3 million has been allocated by the government to fund League of Ireland academies from next year's budget. The €3 million sum falling short of the FAI's request for €4.45 million. But it does seem across the board, the LOI departments in the FAI, the clubs, the players and many other affiliates have welcomed the news. The funding will be administered by Sport Ireland rather than the FAI. Vinny, what does this mean for the clubs in the men's Premier and First Divisions, and also in the women's Premier Division?
I think it's the beginning of brilliant news. I think it's a great starting point for a league. I think it gives the opportunity for clubs to invest in their academy setups, of being involved with clubs who never done it because they just simply didn't have the finance, and even involved with a club that was at the top of the tree for, you know, extended period of time. Quite frankly, even then, they didn't really have the finance to invest in the youth or the structure to the level that was required, because it's bloody expensive, as some clubs will tell you, to stay at the top. And ultimately then, unless you have your academy and your club structured well enough, it's very hard to focus on both. And if some clubs have started to do it very well, particularly the Dublin clubs, and you add probably Cork into that. So it's just brilliant news. It's the beginning of something. I think huge credit has to go to Will Clark and his team. They're the ones that seem to have won the confidence of the Irish government. So all you can say is well done to the League of Ireland Department, Mark Scanlon, Will Clark, etc., for the work they've done in securing the funding. And it's well overdue, and let's hope it's spent really well.
Yeah, rightly, Vinny, Gareth, Vinny highlighting the fact that this is great for the clubs, and, you know, there are clubs already with good setups in there. It's going to give them a huge boost, and the clubs who don't. And it was interesting to hear Patrick O'Donovan speaking to Owen Sheehan on Off the Ball this week after the announcement. He was saying that yes, this is just the start of something, we can build on this. He will be happy once he sees the FAI using this money in the right way and that they can be trusted, you know, the clubs, I should say, that this pot can get bigger and bigger. So I'm thinking when you hear that kind of, you know, sentiment or that message from a TD from a man who's holding the purse strings or helping divide up that money, you know, not only do the clubs benefit here, but this is, I think, you know, for anybody that wants to go, who's only now thinking about going into work in football, who wants to get involved in coaching, but wants to be a paid coach in football, if you're thinking about doing that job maybe 3-4 years down the line, that you're going to go into college or go through the right courses to get involved in professional paid coaching, this is brilliant as well, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. I think it's welcome news through Gritted Teeth as well, because the reason we've got this funding, as you rightly say, is the new FAA. They have built up the confidence that the previous FAA shattered. And I think the reason that it's so small, and I say small, we obviously welcome them. We're the League of Ireland are grateful for it, but I think it should have been much bigger. I think the League of Ireland have built up probably as good a business case as any sport in Ireland to get a much better chunk of it. Listen, we'll take this now. It's multi-year. It's up to Will Clark, Mark Scanlon, the FEA now, to build the confidence and spend it wisely. And I think that's what hasn't been done in the past. And that's why relationships with the government deteriorated so badly throughout the years. But the business case now is so strong. And the League of Ireland clubs deserve this money. They deserve this and they deserve more. So they've just got to put petrol on the fire. What they've been doing, as you say, get people in, get the right people in. Listen, any industry in the world or any business in the world is only as good as the people in it. Doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you have at your disposal. You need to get the right people in the right seats in the bus, and then get it moving forward. And just want to touch on something Vinny said there, and it brought to my attention. And it's interesting, he was saying that there wasn't enough finances for Dundalk back in the day. There was more than enough finances, but the clubs in Dundalk and other clubs and other clubs right now, they just didn't see the return on investment in building an academy. And it's the other clubs that have shown them the route and shown them the pathway to do that. The likes of Pats, the likes of Shamrock Rovers, and now it's up to the other clubs. And in fairness, they're going to get a helping hand here now with this finances. But they got to get it into their business plan, their strategy, that academies should be run in a profit and loss centre for the clubs. And this will help massively. So welcome news. Mm. Brilliant. Keep it coming. We need more. And we need to get this thing really, really ramping up now.
Yeah, and just finally...
I just want to pick up on one other thing, is that I was in good form last week. I need to take that back now a little bit. Because what's important to say is it's only the beginning, and as much as it's going to be administrated by Sport Ireland, I think it's important that the FAI are given. And I heard the minister on with Owen, and I'll have some chat with Owen, I think, later on this evening as well. Hopefully this comes up. And what's important is there's no politics at the mind around business as well, in the sense of the running of this money. So where am I going with this line is, there's certain clubs who are doing their academy well at the moment who deserve this money. And there's other clubs who are being given money and they have done very little to deserve that money with academy. Now, that's okay. And part of the reason I imagine they're getting it is because TDX is saying, well, you can't give it to this part of the country and not to my part. Okay? So there has to be stipulations. And for when that money grows, or if it's be paid out again next year, cannot be given to certain clubs who don't maximise it, who don't spend it well, who don't use it, and punish almost. Like, the certain clubs getting the same amount of clubs pouring their heart and their soul into the academy. That's okay at the start, but that can't continue forever. And there has to be a cut-off point. And I would say cut-off point is year one. There has to be checks and balances. And if a certain club hasn't got the finger out with academy, they should be cut for funding straight away, and take the, you know, take, as I said, TDX or B, whatever the TD is in the local area fighting for his own club. They must spend that and spend it well, because some of the clubs aren't doing their business right when it comes to academy at the moment. They're saying it's finance, but this is the beginning of it. And I think they need to be held accountable. and the money should be focused where it's going to be used properly and needed, and not squandered for sake by some clubs to just have a pretend academy. That's not good enough, and that's not going to help us develop the game.
But Vinny, and sorry, Steve, you may be able to answer this. I'm sure that the FEA are the ones that are going to govern this.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Well, the money's being administered, the funding's being administered by Sport Ireland, so I'm sure they're going to want to see that, as Vinny says, there are checks and balances there, and that this money isn't being frittered away, and it's strictly for academies. That is it. There's no two ways about it, so I don't think we're going to see any messed about with this, shall we say. And I think it is good to see that it's going through the three divisions, the men's Premier, women's Premier, and the men's First Division as well. But yeah, there's definitely, I think this is going to be watched very carefully by the TDs. I can understand that it's like anywhere, any major organisation that's received a government bailout, you know, you do have to show over a number of years that you can be trusted again with this money and to use it properly. There was going to be something else I was going to mention, that, but it's totally gone out of my head. So look, it's brilliant positive news.
The other thing I was going to say, Vinny,
is because, as you mentioned, there are clubs in the leagues now who have got good academies in place, who are doing things the right way. They've got good coaches in there. I do think there has to be an element of clubs sharing information. And like, if there are clubs who have yet to get a proper academy off the ground, that they are able to go and use other clubs as a blueprint, or to get advice from other clubs, because we've seen that in other aspects as well, where clubs are willing to help each other out with regards to fundraising, all that kind of stuff. I do think there has to be an element of sharing information across the league, because, you know, there's no point in us having 10 or 12 strong academies and the other, you know, 14 aren't doing so well. We need to have an island with the 26 strong academies across the board, and I think that they all need to help each other out in that case as well.
Yeah, hear, hear. Totally agree, but Steve, well, that's happening. I mean, to my knowledge, that's happening. All the director of academies are speaking to one another. Most of the CEOs are speaking to one another. That, and you're right, we have to move forward together, because leaving two or three behind, just it's just not going to do the whole league as a whole any good. Totally agree.
Right.
Well, can I just say, sorry, Steve-o, sorry. Unfortunately, this is the elephant in the room. There isn't a room for 26 academies. There's not the need for. We don't have enough players. We're not going to develop enough players with 26 academies. And that goes back to my point. Whether it's year one, two, or three, we may have to cut some people loose and say, we don't need you to have an academy, because there simply isn't the players. And we're pouring money down the sink by, in certain parts of this country, having two and three academies. That won't make a lot of sense, Stephen. I mean, we only develop X amount of players. Yes, we're trying to make that bigger and stronger, but it comes a point where you have to realise that at the elite level we're trying to get at here, this money is about elite level. Remember, they've forgotten about all the schoolboy clubs. That was ripped up by Real Doctor and his mate a few years ago. The Cherry Orchard, the Ringmatton Rangers, the sort of all of them clubs were told, we don't want you anymore. But this is just that elite level football this money has been targeted towards. And it comes a point where these people have to be managed, questioned, yes, share knowledge, given a bit of time to build an academy. But unfortunately, where people like it or not, 26 academies is too many for a country of this size, of the elite level. We need to drive standards, have really high level academies to compete with our Croatians that we keep going on about and all of these nations. And unfortunately, 26 is too many. We don't have enough players for that. And that's where some hard discussions are going to happen. You may see part of the country being told, you've got to come together as an academy. How does that work when you have two separate football clubs? It doesn't. But if we're going to give someone like Bohemians or Shamrock Rovers, I shouldn't have mentioned any club, and other clubs, 1 million each for argument's sake down the road, that is a bit of a mistake, whether you like it or not. It's not politically correct to say that. It's not going to set well with people. But we've got to be honest. If we want to improve the elite level of this game, we've got to get our act together with that part.
Okay, well, listen, we might come back to this one again because there's an awful lot you could dig up in that kind of discussion. Let's move on to what we saw last week regards to football. Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne, of course, making their European bows last Thursday night. Vinnie, we were at Tallaght Stadium. Great night for Shelburne. I know Owen here, he said an off the ball, he would have liked to see the team attack a little bit more, take the game by the scruff of the neck. On reflection, do you think Joey O'Brien and the players will have any regrets after that game?
The soundbite seemed to be that they were happy enough to get up and running. They were seemed happy enough to get a point. When you listen to Joey, I heard Owen on Friday morning with the lads, and so actually him a very good piece when him and Barry are together. It was really good. For me, I'm sort of on Harry's side. We called it in commentary a little bit, or I certainly did. I'm not sure how good the opposition Hacken were. Yes, neat and tidy on the ball. The challenge with what I'm saying is I'm sitting in the cheap seat. When you open up and go after these teams, do you punish it and you're left with egg in your face? But you know what? You might only play Europa League football, group stages, should I say conference football, once in your life. Sometimes you can have regrets, and I feel like they've left something behind them last week a little bit. At least go for it a bit more. You're a little bit too conservative, I felt. Once they sussed out Hacken, I felt they should have said, right, this game is on, because Hacken didn't have huge pace. Their passing ability was exceptional, but they weren't going to really hurt them. And it didn't feel like they created enough goal-scoring chances for the home side as they were.
Yeah, Gareth, might get your view on Rovers in just a moment. I'm not sure if you saw anything of that particular game, but Vinnie, we were very impressed, weren't we, by the substitution when it was made of young Henry Francis. He didn't look too... It took him a little bit of time to get into the game, but jeepers, when he got into the game, you were kind of thinking, this fella, he could do some serious damage here. Some of his passing was absolutely sensational.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Sorry, Vinny. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it feels like the only challenge with him coming off, I'm not mistaken, you might check this with Steve, but it was Ali Coote came out of the team. And once Ali Coote came out of the team, I felt, oh, Shells aren't going for this anymore. So it was Wood and Meepo, or Wood and John Martin came
John
on,
Martin,
Daniel
yeah.
Kelly, but that was late. And I didn't feel, once Coote came off, Coote and Wood were a bit of a threat. I think Coote has been exceptional at stages this season. Been a really, really exciting player to watch. And when he came out of that team, I was like, oh, they're not going for this. And I felt, as much as Henry Francis was exceptional, we think he's a really talented player. We've seen flashes of that before at Sligo. That was the one thing that just bothered me about substitutions. But he... going back to the question, he's really suited to European football, isn't he? In terms of, he can pick out a really good pass. He's very clever with the ball. He keeps it really well. You can tell he's been at Arsenal. He's learned to mind the ball, and he's got real quality. And I think Shelburne's squad and the building of the squad, I think it'd be great for him to get Europe again and test himself this year if he got to that fourth position. Because I think they've built a really good squad. It feels like, ironically, heading into next season, them and Bowles are the closest to the Shamrock Rovers to come to start next season. Yet Derry are in second, so it's a mad old League of Ireland to get your head around.
Yeah, and it looks like Shamrock Rovers, well, they could wrap up the title for sure. We know they're going to be the title winners, but this weekend, we'll come on to that game shortly. Their game in Prague, Gareth, you know, I suppose not many people gave them a chance going over there. Rovers' easier games in their particular group phase fixtures are coming towards the end. Sparta Prague, huge, huge challenge going to Prague to play either of the teams there. But will they be hugely disappointed with that performance, with the results? Was it a free hit? I don't know what you made of it.
I mean, I think he got it spot on, Bradley. I mean, a lot of people are not happy with the formation and the players that he picked and stuff like that. I mean, he was pretty vocal at the beginning of the year that the double was what he wanted. I mean, and this is the kind of difference between where Shamrock Rovers are at and where Shelburne are at. Oh, Shelburne should have went and tried to beat Hagan. It's 300,000-odd for a draw in Europe. You go and try and win that game, you lose a goal in the background, you're down money. And had Hagan been at the end of Shelburne's kind of group stages, I think they would have had more of a go. But you've got to ease your way into Europe. Whereas Shamrock Rovers, I mean, they've been in Europe now for a long time. The players have played a lot of games in Europe. They knew what they were going up against in Slavia. A really, really good side. Been in the Champions League. Would he have played much of a different team had he not had the cup game? Maybe one or two, but not wholesale changes. We've seen Nugent, McEnough, play a lot of European games, especially Nugent away from home. He's played in the midfield a lot just for the energy, the work rate, his ability to keep the ball. So I don't think they were shortchanged. The quality of the opposition, 4-1, is nothing to be disappointed about. Maybe a few performances, but you're going to get that. You're not going to get players playing 8, 9, 10 out of 10, especially against that sort of opposition. So I think they'll just take it as lesson learned and move on to the next game.
133,000 for the draw, isn't it? And then 400 for the win.
Yeah, they must get something different Sterling-wise up there, Steve-O. That's what it is. I'm on Gareth. But here, Steve-O, can I take your job for a second and ask Gareth a question?
Here we go.
Yes.
On Bradley's comment, in terms of, he basically said, and I don't know whether, Steve-O, you would have heard him clearer than me, but he basically said that he picked a team with Sunday in mind, okay? Kerry in mind. And if you were one of the players that started, so you've played at a higher level than me and you've played more recently, how would you feel about them comments in terms of, it was almost like, did he mean by I sent out the resis there or the second team, and they don't have a second team. But he basically said, I was saving my fourth team. Is a way of reading it, or do you see it like that for Sunday?
Well, not even that. It would have explained it more that up against the opposition and being away from home. And listen, you've been in change rooms. I've been in change rooms. I know what the manager tactically is trying to do and whether I fit into that or not. There's no way that Mandrao and Burke go away and play at Slavia Prague. It's just not a good setup or not a good formation. So he would have talked to the players. He would have said, listen, we have a massive match on Sunday. We need to win a double. That's the priority at the beginning of the year. I told you that. And again, it comes down to communication. All the players would know exactly what they're trying to achieve this year. Getting a point away to Slavia Prague is way down the priorities list, even at this stage of the season. And looking at that...
Yeah, but my point is, Gareth, if you're Nugent or who else started Nugent, Healy is always playing...
McEnough, McGovern, yeah, they all played against Sparta. Yeah,
are you saying, all right, so, like, whatever about knowing it, Gareth, different saying it, the two different things when you say it in public. I was a little bit surprised by the comment. That's why I'm asking it as a player. No, I was surprised by them to say it. It's almost like part of me is going, was he trying to say faith by the comments, or did he not think about them because as a player that started?
Yeah.
Well, your second fiddle.
I've said it for years. I think his greatest achievement is keeping all these squads happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
he's
pure honesty. And I think that's what he would have given Nugent, McEnough and McGovern. And especially, probably Nugent has played away. McEnough's probably the only conversation he's got to have. McGovern, I'm sure, didn't expect to start on Sunday. Probably didn't expect to start in Slavia Prague. So what, one conversation? Yeah, I think he's just brutally honest. And he's been able
But you're still not answering my question. If you're Aaron McEnough, how do you take those comments?
I would take it in the chin. He's been honest. Aaron McEnough knows that, I would say.
Okay.
Right. Folks, if you're watching,
back to your job. Sorry,
if you're watching us on YouTube here at the moment, let's move on here. Listen, Gareth McLean looks handsome on any screen, but in HD on RTE on Sunday night, Vinny, I'll tell you one thing. Woof. The FAI Cup semi-final. Shamrock Rovers and Kerry, the team that did start that game, went on to win the match 6-1. But in the midst of all that, Graeme Burke came together with Joe Adams on the sideline. An incident which was described in no uncertain terms by GMAC as the biggest red card you will ever see. Now, I'm not sure if the referee had a novelty red card that was about 6 foot high he was going to whip out to show to Graeme Burke. But listen, no surprise, Vinny, both managers had different views when they spoke to Off the Ball after the game. Stephen Bradley said to our Ben Symes, who was there reporting, said, are you having a laugh, when he questioned whether he should have been sent off. And then, of course, Colin Healy, when he was asked about it, was saying, yeah, it was absolutely a red card, and was basically saying Stephen Bradley was talking nonsense. What did you think, Vinny?
The best thing on your TV remote, Stephen, is mute button, by the way. Okay. Sorry, guys, I joke, of course. Come here. The sending off instance, I'm conflicted on it in the sense of I think in modern day football it's a red card. I don't think it's necessarily a blatant red card and all of that stuff, like a mad challenge. What Burke did is he let himself down, in my view. I think he's the best player in the country, talent-wise. He basically said, don't you dare tackle me. How dare you? Like that. And he wouldn't do that on a Thursday night in a Europa League game. So he reacted. He pushed the fella towards his face, didn't dig him, any of that stuff. So I think it should have been a red card. Where the devil's advocate and all of that is, we speak about Paul McLaughlin being a very composed, calm referee who makes very sensible decisions, doesn't tend to flash red cards, doesn't tend to get overexcited about stuff. And he's made, like, this pushing somebody isn't always a red card in my view, and he made a very sensible decision in his eyes. Now, I can see why it's a huge sort of incident, because there's a cup final place at stake. Burke's very lucky. Robert's got lucky in a quarter final with what should have been a red card as well. And it was only 2-0. And who knows? We'll never know. Doesn't mean he would have won the game, but we'll never, ever know. So I'm just not as blatant as Gareth was on the TV the other night in terms of straight red, absolutely, all of that stuff. I can understand where the decision came to. And I'm okay with the odd push when there's a heated incident like that and not being a straight red card, or a fella holding his face as if he was battered like by a boxer.
Manny, he didn't push his head. He slammed it into the ground and he did it twice. It's the biggest red card you'll ever see. And Paul McLaughlin's the best referee in the league by a country mile, and he got it wrong. And I believe that he made a decision and he didn't think it was a red card, and he's just got it wrong. He's made a mistake. He's human. He's like all of us. But it is so much a red card, it's not even funny. And it's because...
Why is Paul McLaughlin the best ref in the league, though?
See if a Kerry FC player did that to Graeme Burke, what do you think would have happened?
I think with the same referee, we don't know.
Answer the question.
Like, the reason why Paul McLaughlin is the best ref in the league...
He's a Shamrock Rovers player. He's getting a red card within a split second.
Well, Gareth... We do know your views now, both on that incident. Just quickly, what did you make of Kerry under Colin Healy? Like, the club as a whole, I think, is going in the right direction. They haven't lost many games under Colin Healy. How do you think they're doing? What do you think they look like on Sunday, despite that big defeat?
It's funny, too, because when you look at their league form at the minute, it's not good. They haven't won in 5. They go out and do that incredible comeback against Sligo. What I'm most impressed about is their fitness levels. If you look through the Athlone, Cove and Sligo, they've scored a lot of goals late in games and in the injury times and extra time. So fitness, they look really good. The other night, they just came up against the best team in the country. And as Vinny said, the most talented player in Graeme Burke. Some of the stuff that was going on during the game was no fault of Kerry FC. It was all Shamrock Rovers. It was incredible stuff. Honest to God, the pass from Noonan through the legs of the defender, just waiting that split second. You cannot understand how talented that young boy is. And then Graeme Burke with his finish with his right foot. Then you've got Mandrea, one-on-one, unbelievable pass by Watts. I mean, if that's me or any other player, I'm just chasing it down and finishing at that angle. He has got this vision in his head, the same vision that Watts has, Noonan has, Burke has, Mandreau. They are a step ahead. He knows the defender's going to come back. He's done a risk assessment saying he's probably going to tackle me, so I'm just going to lay it back. The momentum of the defender is going to go forward, and Graham Burke is going to have a better angle, and he's just going to slot it under the net. Unbelievable.
Rovers are going to be relying on all of those attacking players doing a bit of magic tomorrow night. We're recording on Thursday in that game against Shelburne in the Premier Division on Tallaght Stadium. Because, Vinnie Perth, they've got very few defenders left. Roberto Lopez on international duty with Cape Verde, and Stephen Bradley told the media this morning he may miss their last qualifier against Setúbal on Monday. Cape Verde need a point, I think it is, from that game to ensure qualification for the World Cup. He is going to be out either way of the Rovers game because his better half is expecting a baby. And I wish the Lopezes the best of luck with all of that. Josh Honahan is also out. Lee Grace remains out. That doesn't leave a lot of defenders in that Rovers squad. Is this a big, big opportunity for Shelburne to put pressure on the rest of the European hopefuls in the division?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity. Rovers have options. Corey O'Sullivan's done really well, and you might see someone like maybe Healy joining the back four in the middle of Dan Cleary as well. You might see something along them lines, or maybe one of the academy players gets the chance to shine. They've got a couple of different options. I think it's sort of it's a little bit watch this space. I think Shells have to go for the game. They don't have to go and start and be kamikaze. What they need to do is just hang in there and stay in the game. But I think it's a huge opportunity for Shelburne. Lopez is a massive loss of Rovers when he's at his very best. They generally play well. So there's something about this this Shamrock Rovers team this year that you feel, despite missing bodies, despite defensive worries they have, it feels like they're just a cut above everybody. So if Shells have to win on Friday, I'm really looking forward to this game. We're at it live on radio, and really looking forward to it because I think it's potentially a very exciting game because there's opportunities for Shells. Shamrock Rovers still cut above everybody, so I think it could be a really good game on Friday night. But if Shells want to get Europe, they run out of time now. They got to at least have a point, if not pick up all three.
You've worked hard since you arrived in the city, gained loads of experience, developed your skills. Everywhere you look, you see something you helped build. But now, you're looking to the future, and maybe you're thinking about where you come from. In Ireland, we need planners. Carpenters, plumbers, roofers, engineers, architects, site managers, and more. We need you, with all your skills and knowledge, to help us build thousands of homes. You've built the world. Now come back and build the home that built you. For more information, visit gov.ie/buildingIreland. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah, Gareth, as Vinny says, it is our live game on Off the Ball this Friday night. Jonathan Higgins is commentating alongside Vinny Perth at Tallaght Stadium. Going into the game, Shelburne on 46 points. They're 4 points behind Bohemians with a game in hand over them. They will go ahead of St. Patrick's Athletic if they even get a point out of this. And a win would take them above Drogheda United into fourth position. Would you agree with Vinny? Is it a must win for Shells or a must not lose, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's a must not lose. I mean, depending on the game, they're going to have to try and see how the game goes. You got to remember, they're going up against the league champions elect. You know, it's going to be a tough game away from home. Good pitch. They didn't perform great there the last time they were there. It's going to be a tough game, but they're running now with Shells. I don't think this is a must-win game. I think the games after that are games that they've probably got a better chance of picking up 3 points. I think if they get to 54, 55 points, I think you're looking at qualification. I think that's the number that they need to get to. So I don't see them to go hell for leather. I think if you offer Joe O'Brien right now a point, I think he would take your hand off.
Yeah, kind of. Well, listen, we'll come back to Cork City and Pats now in just a moment, Finny. But like, it's a point, a good point Gareth makes. Like, they've got Cork City away. You would kind of think Cork City now are going to be focusing on that cup final. Sligo Rovers at home, they'd probably fancy themselves in that game as well. So, do you think what Gareth's saying there does ring true?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's funny, we have a situation where it feels like everybody has something to play for, probably with the exception of Cork. I think they're, but the difference is Cork players have to play well to get themselves into a cup final. So there'll be a couple of players not sure if they're exactly going to start. And the form of next few weeks might just turn the manager's eye. So you might sometimes you find teams the week before the cup final, they make a host of changes, but the build up to it is people battling to get into their starting position. I've seen it as a player and as a coach where people just do go above and beyond in that sort of build up. So the Cork is something different. Sligo still need to feel like it probably four to 6 points just to be safe. Everybody has something to play for at the moment. Galway, Waterford, Sligo, and as I said, the main thing, Cork. So that's what makes our league so good. It makes it what makes it so honest. It's hard to pick up 3 points against anybody. Mm-hmm. And the day you start, I know the point Gareth's making, but the day you start thinking, well, you should win that one when it comes to the League of Ireland over the last few years, you go up your head, because the only thing our league is predictably unpredictable. It's so hard to call. But I feel like Shells have probably got the easier run in, have they, or the more opportunities to finish at least fourth, and they could even sneak into third.
Yeah, 100%. And Vinny, just on that, I mean, the fact that Cork away in 3 days after the Shamrock Rovers match, do you not keep that in your mind as a manager? Go, you know what? We could put out a full strength squad here against Rovers, neck a one possibly, but take a draw or keep a few players and guarantee the one down in Cork. And I know what you're saying about unpredictability, but there's two different levels of teams here, top against bottom.
I've heard that argument of people, you know, the Friday Monday thing go stronger on a Monday. But I think if you start trying to be that clever, football bites you in the ass. I wouldn't go down that line. I think you could go and beat Shell, or you go and beat Shamrock Rovers on a Friday night and go down to Cork and lose, or you could just lose both of them. It doesn't work that way. So for me, play the game that's in front of you. It's a bit old school. It's a bit sort of generic way of putting it to you. But I think when you start overthinking like that, it just bites you in the backside, and it's not for me. It's not an option.
Just a couple of minutes left, lads, so we cannot move or finish the show without talking about what happened at Turner's Cross on Friday night. And I would imagine there is a young man called Evan McLaughlin who might just have eked himself into that starting team for the cup final against Shamrock Rovers at the Aviva Stadium in November. What a performance by him. I don't know where I heard it, Gareth. I was listening to radio or might have been another podcast. There was somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody said this could be a 50-50 game down at Turner's Cross if St. Pat's don't play well and if Cork City turn up. I'm not too sure who it was at all. If I remember, I'll tell you next week, okay? But anyway, there was somebody who's involved in football or might have been involved in football said it was a 50-50 game. What happened in Turner's Cross? You tell me.
Self-praise is no praise,
Steve-O.
I'll say nothing. I'll go on mute now.
Listen, Steve-O, I was one of those people that probably thought Pat should have shaded the favourites tag on that. But I think it was a perfect example of Cork just doing the basics much better than St. Pat's. And a lot of these people are having a go at St. Pat's about they didn't play well. I think St. Pat's probably played the way that they've been playing their all season. I think Cork just turned up and just completely outran them, outworked them, did the basics far better, took less chances and played percentage football and did a proper, less risky game given the conditions. And they were brilliant. They were dynamic. The front four were unbelievable. Now, again, this comes back to the manager. Obviously, tactics and all that can be overhyped. The manager's just got the players working there socks off to get into that final. Now, the running, the working and the movement was obviously they had worked on that to completely disrupt St. Pat's, because when Cork were on the ball, St. Pat's looked really, really shaky. And when St. Pat's were on the ball, Cork looked so solid. They looked as if Pat's had been playing for another 2 weeks, they wouldn't have scored. They just hadn't got any answers to break them down. They were so disciplined, Cork. They worked harder, they closed down, and they were thoroughly deserving of the victory. 3-0 probably flattered them a wee bit, but Evan was amazing. Again, he probably epitomised it, just ran his socks off for however long he was on the pitch. Two good finishes. And then Shawnee's goal as well. I mean, I don't know about the keeper for Shawnee's goal and Evan's first goal. It looked as if it went through him. But no, all credit goes to Cork rather than having a go at Pats.
Hey, lad, you know when someone says about experience, Devo, you know the way, like, when we talk about football teams and we talk about experience, like, what does experience mean to people? But you use the line, they're a very experienced team. They've got this, they've got that. It's very hard to explain what that means because we don't know what goes on the dressing room, and you're presuming certain people are very experienced. I know one player that people would, he's one of the most decorated players, but he's not somebody in terms of that would be a natural leader in the dressing room, and you'd say just because he's experienced. But let me explain what I think experience is and how easiest way to explain it now. Sean Maguire and Greg Bulger both done interviews after the game, and they spoke about speaking to lads about how special the cup final was, how special the build-up is, how special it is for your family, the occasion, getting to the Aviva Stadium, your national stadium. I'm sure they would have spoke about suits, all of that stuff. They sold the dream to their young teammates. I presume Sean Murray was involved in that as well. He wasn't interviewed, and a couple others. They sold the dream to their teammates. And as Gareth said, they went and worked harder, battled harder, won every tackle, or almost every tackle. And they played to be back in the cup final. And they played above and beyond themselves. And it was brilliant to see. And I just heard the two of them being interviewed and went, wow, they've sold the dream to their young teammates. Fair play to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, when we do come back to the league action next week, we might discuss St. Patrick's Athletic more and the issues that Stephen Kenny is having there with his team, because they really were poor on Friday night, and maybe not just all their own fault, as Gareth hinted at just there. Lads, thanks a million for that. It's been a real pleasure. In one word, who's going to win the cup final, Gareth?
I think Shamrock Rovers will be too strong.
Vinny?
Shamrock Rovers.
Shamrock Rovers, okay. Dublin Media and the Rural Media, both going for Shamrock Rovers there. Great way to finish the show, lads. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with the LOI Pod.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.